This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. As we come now, we already have studied Ephesus, Smyrna, and then we had Pergamos and Thyatira. And now we're coming to the last three churches in the book of Revelation. Let me begin by sharing something that I picked up as I was looking at the historical Sardis. He says, astronomers tell us that the light from the polar star takes 33 years to reach the earth. That star could have been plunged into darkness 30 years ago, and its light would still be pouring down to the earth. It would be shining in the sky tonight as brightly as if nothing had happened. It could be a dead star, shining solely by the light of a brilliant past. The Church of Sardis was like that. It had a name, but it was dead. It was shining solely by the light of a brilliant past. This church is pretty an amazing church. Let's read the church and then we'll come back and expound on it. Chapter 3, Revelation verse 1. To the angel or messenger of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's pretty incredible concerning this church. This church has a remnant of believers that love the Lord. And yet the whole church, as he talks about this city and the people, they were literally dead and they didn't even know it. I think of how many churches today are like the Church of Sardis. It is so incredible when you go and speak in these churches. And when you go and drive by a church that has been there for 30 or 40 years and now it's for lease or it's for sale or somebody already bought it and they put something else like a grocery store or a shopping center. Where once the Holy Spirit moved and the Holy Spirit spoke. Think about it. In America today, that's why we in Calvary Chapel, we continue not only to exhort ourselves, because it could happen to this church. And the reason I say that, because look at the church today, how the church has become so carnal and so far away from Jesus Christ and His truth. You're here because you love God. But think of all the people that come here on Sunday mornings that maybe have never been born again of the Holy Spirit. And those that are watching through the internet, it's cool. Because it's important not only to have fellowship with one another, but it's important to come to church, to be in fellowship with each other, and to hear the Word of God through the Holy Spirit so that we can become doers of the Word of God. And our children and our grandchildren can see the example. The way the church is heading in these last days, eventually, it could be a dead church. A dead church just like Sardis. There are three kinds of people in the church. Number one, those who don't know what's happening. Those who do not know what's happening. Secondly, those who watch what's happening. And the third one, those who make things happen. Which are you tonight? Are you the one that is, notice, you really don't know what's happening? Or secondly, you're watching what's happening? Or thirdly, you're making things happen. Happen in your life. That's really important for the church. Which are you tonight? Which are those in the internet? Which are those on Sunday morning, Friday nights, Thursday nights with Dale, Thursday mornings. Every one of the activities we have here in Calvary Chapel, any one of us can fall into that category. Let me read to you. He says, when love dies, the love of God's word, love of lost souls, love for our brethren, and love for his coming, this is when a church dies. In the beautiful Forest Lawn of Cemetery in Glendale, California, an effort is made to take the minds and the mourners from the fact of death by playing soft, sentimental music during their final rites. All the soft strain of the Londonderry air lawns, it cannot remove the fact of death. Everyone dies. Everyone dies, some sooner than others. And think about how the church today, when you look at the church of Sardis, you know, this is really the church that starts, you know, in the Reformation. This is the Protestant church. We talked about in Thyatira, the Catholic church. Imagine all of the people from the past, Calvin, Luther, Wesley, all these that have made a difference in the church, and they in the past gave us not only the word of God, they gave us commentaries. They gave us a model to follow. And yet today, believe it or not, when I read books today that are published today, they're so shallow. I have old books from the 1800s, 1600s. That's who I read. They have debt. Why? There was no movies, no television, no activities that could take you away from the Word of God. But they really prayed and studied the Word of God. A lot of the churches today are very superficial. Someone said that the church today is really, listen, 3 feet deep and 1,000 miles wide. 3 feet deep. When the church should be deeper than that. So I just really want to exhort you tonight to really think about your service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you serve Him? Why do you come? What are you doing as a Christian in these last days to rescue your family, to rescue your friends? Even as Jesus rescued you from drugs, alcohol, whatever your testimony is, God delivered us because He loved us and He loves your family and He loves your friends. So I think it's of importance even tonight that as we study the Word of God to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. Not to condemn us, but to convict us so that we can do what's right. That we can be healthy spiritually. Sardis had two historical facts that seem to have a bearing on the letter written by Christ. Sardis means a remnant. That's what it means in the Greek, a remnant. So even today, think about it. When Elisha was in control in the Old Testament as a prophet, and he took off running all the way to the desert from Israel. And when he got there, he said, Lord, kill me. I don't want to live any longer. And the Lord came to him and said this, don't you know that I have a remnant that has never bowed their knees to Baal? 7,000 never compromise in the Old Testament in the time of Elisha. Think of all the people today that compromise in the church. They compromise in the church. Drinking, lying, cheating, the government cheating God. And at the same time, looking at pornography, listening to bad music that destroys your brain, your thoughts. And then people go to church, and they expect God to do a work in their lives, or maybe they come to church because it makes them feel good. You see, this church, they had an empty profession. An empty profession. Number one, it was 1,500 feet straight, the city up, and was impregnable, perfectly safe for any enemy to come, and yet could not penetrate. Secondly, he says, when the city was outgrown, a second development was begun at the base of the mountain in the valley. Thirdly, legend has it that gold was discovered just lying around in the river that flowed through the city. Notice how wealthy it was. And fourthly, the history of the city was one of wealth, security from all their enemies. This reminds me something that is really kind of important. Remember in the book of Daniel, in chapter 5, when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson took over power. And when the handwriting came on the wall, it was the judgment of God. That very night, as they came to invade the city of Babylon, they say historically there was a centurion that dropped his helmet. He went out to pick it up, and then the enemy was outside, and they saw that they could come in and go up into the city and invade the city. Think of what the enemy thinks today as he's trying to invade our lives. What is he looking for? For a hole in the wall in your life to come through and destroy you, take you captive. It's so important to understand that we do have an enemy. An enemy that hates us. And yet this church was living in the past. In the past, not in the present. The reputation they had in the past, and now they had a poor reputation. Look at the church today. What kind of reputation do we have? This is why Jesus said this. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. You're dead. That's the church today. When I was studying, man, I was blown away by the Lord. This is the church today. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but really you are dead. You are dead. You have no life. Yet they knew what they had received, the best of everything, and they needed nothing, but they needed to repent. They needed to repent. That was the greatest thing. He said, hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. Sardis had been conquered twice. Two times they were conquered. Both times had been due to a false sense of security behind the impregnable fortress that they had. Think about that. The fortress they had, they thought nobody can invade us. Twice they were invaded. Twice. They failed to post adequate watches over to look over the walls and the steep fortresses. I mean, think about how, when the enemy comes. I mean, what was the problem with the disciples in Gethsemane? Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and Jesus was going to pray. And he said to the disciples, hey, pray, 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 pray. And then what happened? Jesus went to pray. He came back and they were praying. No, they were sleeping. They were sleeping. And they didn't understand that this would happen three times. And when it happened three times, when they left the Garden of Gethsemane, they saw 500 coming with Judas leading the pack to arrest Jesus, as the disciples would not only run away from Jesus and leave him alone. Why? Because they didn't pray. Jesus said, you should have watched and prayed. Watch and pray. This is the theme in the church of Sardis. Watch, pray, and repent, and return back to me. And it's sad because while the city was under attack by Cyrus of Persia, again, a guard on Sardis windows had been seen to drop his helmet over the step wall and climb down to the crevices to recover it. And then the city was taken that very night by a small band of soldiers chiming up in the same crevices. They saw that. And they said, we can take the city. This way, follow me. I wonder if Satan is looking in your life, how can I take these people as prisoners of war? Because we are in a war. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are to put on the whole armor of God because we're in a war. And when you think of the war that we're dealing with today, the war that we're dealing with today is a spiritual war. This is why so many Christians in every church today have become carnal. They've lost that respect for the Word of God. They have gone to sleep. Instead of watching, they're sleeping. And yet the Lord is calling out and saying, behold, I am coming quickly. Coming quickly. And yet people don't believe it. And yet this church, under one of the sequent rulers, another one came, Alexander the Great. And the incident was, remember, again, the city was taken at the same manner. Alexander the Great came, in the same manner the city was taken. The church should know from history that the Lord Jesus Christ not only has come, but he's coming again. And we need to what? We need to say, watch and strengthen, hold fast, and I will come as a thief. That's what Jesus said. Again, watch, strengthen, hold fast, I will come as a thief. As a thief in the night. And yet, the church is not watching. The church has become comfortable. The church has become a compromiser. It's so sad. I feel sorry for people. Because I can remember when I got saved. You know, when I got saved, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. I never drank. I never took drugs. But I had issues in my life that needed to be taken care of. And the Holy Spirit, as I began to read the Bible, as I began to pray, as I began to attend Calvary Chapel, the teaching of the Word of God spoke to my heart. Nobody ever, ever, ever convicted me. It was the Holy Spirit to make a change in my life. In the same way today with each one of us individually here. We need to be that small remnant that is alive. And yet, death will follow up if we don't wake up. If we don't wake up, we're going to be in bad, bad trouble. Let's look at the church now again, the dead church from 1520 to the tribulation. He says here, the spirit of history of the church was not only a time of the Reformation, but the moral and spiritual corruption of the church in the Middle Ages. If you study history, you will blow your mind. You will blow your mind how it started. Let's look at the first point here, the speaker, in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, and to the angel or the messenger of the church or the pastor of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he who has the seven spirits of God. Notice that. And the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but really you are dead. The speaker is who? Jesus Christ. The church of Sardis is a lifeless, dying church, needs to look at Jesus for two particular things. Number one, Jesus Christ has seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God, we'll see in a moment. The seven spirits of God is a reference not only to the Holy Spirit of God. The number seven is the number of perfection, remember? The number of perfection, full age, completeness. And when you look through the Bible, the number seven, again, the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, number one, he is what? The comforter. The comforter. Listen, in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Through me. Secondly, the Spirit of truth. John 14, notice 17. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, check this out, and will be in you, the with and the inexperience. And then in Acts 1:8, the upon experience. And then thirdly, he is the personal presence of Christ, John 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And then fourthly, he's the very manifestation of Christ within the believer. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Imagine that. And then it says this, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus Christ has done that. Manifested himself in us and through our lives. Look at fifthly. He is abiding presence of the Trinity. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. He says, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who has sent me. The word. Six, he's the teacher. John 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while I've been present with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Notice the importance of the Holy Spirit. The sevenfold manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Seventh, he is the peace of Christ. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we see here the reference to the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11:7 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So the number seven also means what? Completeness, perfection in the Bible. That means that the Holy Spirit, it's all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think about that. And then Jesus said this, I know your works. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. You are dead. So sad. That we notice that even though they were a hardworking church, it was a dying church. Think of how many hardworking churches, and yet they're dying. They don't want to change. They don't change with the times. They become old wineskins. When God intends to do a whole new work in our lives, and this is why churches close down, because they reject the youth. Because the youth is alive. They want to do things to draw that youth or that generation of young people, like we did in the hippie days, to come in, get saved, and to become the next generation that will take the gospel to the world. We cannot become old wineskins. We cannot become lifeless. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God in our church, in our lives personally. Listen what he says. A lifeless and dying church needs to seek Christ for his Holy Spirit. Secondly, a lifeless church and dying church needs to seek the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, a lifeless church dying needs to seek the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. To seek the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, a lifeless church, dying church, needs to seek the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, a lifeless and dying church needs to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The guidance. Lord, what do you want to do? Where do you want to lead us? Do we want to be new wineskins or do we want to be old wineskins? Do we want the Holy Spirit to be presently with us, leading, guiding us? Or do we want the Holy Spirit to go somewhere else? Somewhere else. Because he will. He'll go somewhere else where he can work. And a lot of times, churches suffocate the Holy Spirit of God. They quench the Holy Spirit of God. Then he says this, a lifeless and dying church needs to seek revival like in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon who? 120 of them in the upper room. And they all spoke in tongues, which means that, again, it's not just tongues. It was there were actually 30 nations represented in Jerusalem. And when they heard them speak in their dialecta, in their own language. And what they spoke, it was praising God, not messages. It was praising God, the witness of the Holy Spirit of God, to praise Him, to worship Him, to allow Him to work within our lives and through our lives so that we can go back to our communities. And God can work in our communities because our communities are dead. And then seventh, a lifeless and dying church needs to seek the witnessing power of the Holy Spirit so that we can become witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. And I think that studying the seven churches for me has been a blessing because I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. Not only to continue to study and to teach the Word of God, but also to evangelize. And today, the church needs to be evangelized. Seriously. Because the church has come to death. And it's really important that we understand that Jesus, notice the second counsel here in verse 2, the second point, the counsel. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found works perfect before God. Notice what he's saying here. The counsel is what? Watch. Be on the alert. The church is not in the alert. This is a major problem today with so many churches. That even though they have services and people are in their churches, the problem is they don't have the Spirit of God in their lives. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their lives. The people are not focusing upon Jesus Christ and His cause. They were sitting in the services, listen, half asleep or looking at their texts. Think about it. Or thinking, what am I going to do after church? Who am I going to see? Where am I going to eat? What am I going to do with my kids? When we should be focusing in the message to allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to my heart so that I can become a doer of the Word of God. And listen, as we sit in the services, we should what? We should become hungry for the Word of God. Hungry for the Word of God. Because the people were not alive. And people today are not alive. They're not spiritual. And yet we need to become spiritual because of the Holy Spirit that is here that wants to not only rule over our lives. Some people attend church and they participate in many things only to build their name. Or because they want to not only be known, but they feel good about it. It's a sense of getting peace in the things that you're doing in the weekends when you come on Sunday morning. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, that's because you're a real child of God. And the Holy Spirit will never force Himself upon any one of us here. But the Holy Spirit will be the one that will bring you to your knees, and the Holy Spirit will be the one that will not only bring you back to the cross, but the Holy Spirit is the only one too that can bring you back into the service of God, to serve Him, to love Him, so that God can continue to use your lives fully and completely. You see, they were attending and participating in things that God had not called them to participate in. They became religious. They had a religious security, not the security of Christ. The word watch here again in the Amplified Bible, New Testament, says, rouse yourselves and keep awake. Rouse yourselves and keep awake. Which means we need to be watching. And every day as we're living in the last days today, in Matthew 24:42, he says, watch. Therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming. But now this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Think about that. Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make, check this out, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. To fulfill its lust. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others sleeping, but let us, here it is, watch and be sober. Notice the word watch all the way through there. Revelation 16:15. Jesus says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches, notice again, and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. All the way through the Bible, watch, 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 be on the alert. I mean, the church needed to be alert. Today the church needs to be alert. Because the church not only had been led by Jesus Christ, it started strong and alive, but just any church today we look, somewhere they started strong with a lot of life. The Holy Spirit was doing a tremendous work. And then what happened? The church died. You know what blew me away the first time I went to England? I went to Wales, I went to England, and then I went to Ireland just to see what the Europeans were like in the church. And I was blown away when I saw the churches. At that time, I think they had like maybe 3% that believed in Christ. And when I went there, I began to see that these foreign people that were coming to England, like Muslims, Indians, and all these different religions, that they were buying the churches to make their own temples. And in England, at that time, in a big church, there was only 25 people worshiping that Sunday. Listen. What happened to England is coming around to America. It's going to happen to us. And the reason is because the church has gone to sleep. Gone to sleep, and the church will not repent. We need to pay attention to these things in the church that is given to us here, the church of Sardis. We need to continue to watch and strengthen these ministries that God has given to us. So what? So they won't die. So they can have life. But the problem is the teachers or people in the church, when you lose that fire, when you lose that excitement, then you don't have the capacity to share with people because they see you as dead. You're not excited anymore. Remember when somebody comes up here and they accept the Lord, they're so excited. We go back here, we look at them, and then throughout the week they're excited. The first thing they do is go back and tell their friends or their loved ones, guess what? I accepted Christ in my life. And many of them say, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Or they get cursed out, whatever. But when the Holy Spirit really comes into your life and you become born again of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes inventory of your life, and what he does, he says, you got to take care of this, get rid of this, get rid of this, so that what? So you can become more spiritual? No. So you can be in fellowship with the Lord, and God can use your life fully and completely. He wants to do that. Jesus here is telling them that he has not found any of their works perfect. Notice that is complete, fulfilled, and finished. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man that is building his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the flood came, the winds blew, they beat upon that house, and it never fell, for it was founded upon the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. All these, notice what he says here, the winds that beat on that house is the trials of our lives and things that we go through as Christians, but it doesn't move us because we know that Jesus Christ is in our hearts. And then he says this, but everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell down. And great was his fall. Think of all the people that are building their house on the sand. instead of the rock. Sardis started building on the sand instead of the rock. And I think of how many believers today are building on the sand. That one day, their house will fall because they didn't listen. In James 2:14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Notice what he says. James 4:17. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." To him it is sin. If you know what's right and wrong and you don't do what's right and you rebel and do what's wrong, God will hold you responsible. To you it's sin. To you it's sin. That's what John said here. And Jesus is speaking. Now watch the third thing here, the warning in verse 3. "Remember therefore how you have what? Received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." The church dies when the fires of their hearts' compassion ceases to burn upon the altars and the souls of the members of the body of Christ. The fire that burns within us. It dies when people cease to witness the work of God, and they don't support it any longer. And the reason is because the fire in their hearts has gone out. And if the body of Christ begins to, notice, to kind of perish away, then what's going to happen to the true church? The true church will probably meet in homes. Watch for the internet. So important for us to start praying for this church. To pray for this church. To pray for the other churches. God wants to work in us and through our lives. You know, and the reason it dies, again, is because our passion for God has died. Has died. Our passion for God has died. Let me read to you, William James of Harvard once said there, he said, "There were some people for whom religion was a dull habit, while for others it was an acute fever." To some of us, it's like an acute fever. To some of them, it's dull. It means nothing to them. There's no change of heart. There's no change of attitude. The people of faith here at Sardis was no longer an acute fever. They were literally becoming cold, and they didn't know they were dying. And yet, it had become a mere dull habit without vitality, without vigor, and without vision. Without vision and without passion. It had become a mere dull habit without those things. I wonder if today we look at the church, these are the things that are missing in the church. I would pray that God would help us in these last days not to be the church of Sardis or to become the church of Sardis, but that we would ask God to give us a vision for the lost world, your family, those outside of your family, those that you work with, those that you are getting an education with, whatever it may be. Because if we don't do that, then Satan is going to take these people and destroy them and keep them captive. Keep them captive, and eventually they'll go to hell. They will go to hell. Here's a warning. He says, the believers of a dead, lifeless church are warned four things. Number one, they must remember how they received and heard the gospel that brought freedom and excitement to their lives. Remember that. Go back and remember. Secondly, they must arouse, awaken, notice, and hold fast to the original spirit that gripped your lives. That gripped our lives. And then thirdly, they must repent for losing their excitement, their fervor, their love, and their fellowship with God. They need to repent. That's the only way to come back to the Lord, through repentance. Fourthly, they just know that the judgment of Christ will fall upon them if they refuse to repent before God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:15. He says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer the loss, but yet he himself will be saved, yet as by the fire. Imagine that. How sad. That God has given us opportunity. He's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yet we neglect it. We neglect it. How I thank God for you, that you come to church and to hear the word of God. And I will pray for you, that even if it's a remnant, like in the Old Testament, 7,000 that did not bend their knee to Baal, that God will use your lives, young and old. For God to use your lives, for your friends, your families, whoever it may be, so they can see Christ in your lives. We only have one life to live, and it'll soon be passed, and the only thing that will last is what we do for Christ, period. That's it. Nothing else. This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. That's important for each one of us. Listen to the promise. Verse 4 and 6. You have a few names even in Sardis, he says, who have not defiled their garments. That's a small remnant. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Notice what he's saying, overcomers. Remember in the book of Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, he talked about those when the books were opened, whoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the only way to get your name in the book of life is to repent and to obey God's word and to walk in the light and to receive the Holy Spirit that will give you the power to walk the life of Christ. That's the only way that can work. Listen. There are promises to those that are overcomers. There are also promises to those who did not defile themselves in sin and become overcomers. Number one. There are those, number one, who have not defiled themselves from the world. Notice, this speaks of what? Of a few faithful in the church, just like Sardis. A few faithful in the church. Secondly, they had not defiled, dirtied, or spotted their lives with the worldliness of the day. Thirdly, they kept themselves unspotted from the world. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. Unspotted from the world. That's what James says. And then fourthly, they were Christ-centered. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is to gain. Paul said that. And then fifthly, the faithful believers kept themselves pure. Pure before God because they fear God. Secondly, he says they focus on God's will, growing spiritually, maturing, not sucking on milk, developing, maturing in Christ. Paul tells us that in the book of Corinthians, in chapter 2, the natural man, in chapter 3, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Which are you tonight? A non-believer, a carnal Christian, or one that is spiritual before God? And then he says this, they had a heart to reach out to the needy and to a lost world. That should be our attitude. That people are going to hell. The sheep beget the sheep. The sheep beget the sheep. That's Calvin Chapel's philosophy. You come to get taught. Look, if Jesus said, preaching, teaching, and healing. Preaching is for the non-believer. Teaching is for the believer. And healing is for God's power to be demonstrated in the church. When non-believers can see that, they either deny it or they believe it. That this is really the power of God. And then, secondly, There are the overcomers. Three promises are given or made to the believers who keep his spirit alive and focus on Christ as his Lord. Number one. This is the garment of righteousness and purity of perfection that will be given to every believer in heaven. Revelation 4:4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Secondly, the overcomer will not be blotted out of the book of life. This is the book that keeps the names. This is the book also where every human born in the world is written in it. Notice that when you're born into the world, it's written. Because he says, whoever's name was not written, out. This is the book also, again. But when one dies as an unbeliever, listen, his name is erased from the book, and they are judged and cast forever into the lake of fire. Wow. To the lake of fire. Exodus 32:33 says, and the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. And remember, Moses said, Lord, don't do that. Blot my name out of the book. And he says, I'll do whatever I want, Moses. Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, speaking of the tribulation period. Even at that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who's found written in the book. There it is again. Revelation 20:11 again. Then I saw the great white throne judgment of him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The moment you're born, through your whole life, everything's written. But when you come to Christ, it is erased. Check this out. He says, but according to their works, by the things which were written in the books, then the sea gave up the dead that were in it. The dead in hell delivered up the dead that was in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. Into the lake of fire. You see, number three, the overcomer will be acknowledging by Christ as before as his Savior. You'll be acknowledged by Christ and God. As a believer, Christ will confess that he knows, believer, that he knows you. Why? Because you overcame and you kept the word of God. You're alive, you're not dead. You focus on eternity, not in the temple of this world. This world is temporal. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him also I confess before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him also I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Philippians 2:11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 4:3. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Wow, how awesome. My name, your name in the book of life. But think of how many people their name is not written in the book of life. It could be your family. It could be your friends. That's why it's so important, man, to come to that place and say, Lord, I want to be useful, not useless. This church had become useless, influenced by the world. And listen, deterioration caused by inactivity. Deterioration when the church is not active and people's lives are not active. We need to be active in the kingdom of God. Loving, caring, sharing with people. And know this, that if we have family, surely we want to see them in heaven. We want to see them in heaven. How tragic it is when people die. And you know that they died in sin, which means you'll never see them again. Only when people repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, then God can work in us and through our lives, and we can be a light shining to a world that is so dark, so dark. That's why Jesus said, what? We are the salt of the world. We are a light on a hill that cannot be hidden. If we truly are those people that need to do what? Sin will keep you from this book. Sin. This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. You need to read the Bible. You need to study the Bible. You need to get on your knees and pray. And pray for yourself and pray for your family and your friends. And please pray for this church. Father, we come before you, God, to thank you so much for your grace and love and mercies, Jesus. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would lead and guide us, Father, and that you continue to speak to the other two churches, Lord. The Church of Philadelphia, Lord. The Church of Laodicea, Father. Lord, we pray for each person here tonight, Lord God, that maybe someone is visiting or maybe somebody's backslidden, Lord God. And yet tonight, Lord God, to an unbeliever and a backslider, you've spoken to your Holy Spirit. And Father, you said, repent. Repent. Lord, we know that Jesus' first message was repent. John the Baptist, repent. Peter, repent. Paul, repent. All the way, Father, through the Bible is repentance. Repent, repent, repent. Change your ways. Come to me. And I'll give eternal life. And I will take my blood and I'll wash away every one of your sins. And I'll write your name in the book of life. If there's anyone here tonight that wants to do that, we're going to worship. You get up on your own and you come up here to the front and I'm going to pray with you when you come up here. Let's worship and you come as God's people. Young and old, I don't care who you are. You come. Those of you that have come, you guys pray with me at this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. I confess to you that I need you tonight, Jesus. Cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible. See that guy right over there? Turn around and go that way. Awesome. 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 What a blessing. That's so cool.